Well, I think the summit coming up next week is going to be a test of whether the G8 can continue to demonstrate relevance. And to do that, it's going to have to deliver on the pledges that it's made, not least to the world's poorest countries. So I do think that whether or not the G8 actually follows through on, for example, the aid pledges that it made to Africa back in 2005, it's going to be a real litmus test of whether the G8 still has a relevant role to play in the New World Order.
Now, the 2005 summit at Glen Eagles was a big deal for developing countries, as you mentioned. There were many promises regarding increased aid, and they say those promises have not been fulfilled. Why do you think they haven't been fulfilled?
Well, I think there are probably different reasons in different G8 countries. I think in some countries it's been down to a lack of political leadership. Some countries don't necessarily have the same history of high-level commitment to international development. And Italy, I think, would be a good example of that. I mean, actually, it was lagging on its aid commitments well before the current global economic recession that's now being used as an alibi. I think in some other cases, countries had a long way to go to get to hitting the aid targets they'd made, and so the challenge was that much greater for them. But I think what the success stories have shown, the countries that have broadly stuck with their commitments, the US, it made more modest commitments, but it's largely kept them, the UK, that's largely on track, I think that underscores the fact that these commitments are achievable.
In an article that you wrote about the G8, you say that G8 leaders must rise to the challenge posed by the global economic crisis and take action on health care and also on aid. Would you tell us first about health? What do you think the G8 should do?
Sure. Well, the G8 has already made a number of pledges to tackle the global health situation. There were a number of pledges that were made back in 2000 to cut child deaths by 2/3 by the year 2015. At the moment, we've got over 9 million children a year around the world dying from easily preventable diseases, over 500,000 women dying in childbirth. There are pledges that have been made to tackle that situation, and the G8 has already come up with commitments, for example, in 2006 to provide $60 billion in aid over 5 years to help address that. And what we're calling on the G8 to do is to actually fulfill those pledges. There are other challenges as well. The commitment to ensure that everybody with HIV is on treatment, receiving prevention services, care services, by the year 2015, another G8 commitment that was made back in 2005. Absolutely critical that by the target date of 2010, we reach that. We've only 12 months left, so this summit's going to be key in terms of checking progress and ensuring that countries are on track.
On your recommendations regarding aid for the G8, it seems that you want a better accounting system or a follow-up to their promises.
Yes, that's right. There's been a lot of discussion, quite heated discussion at times, as I understand it, from government officials here in the UK I've spoken to and government officials in other countries about what's being called an accountability matrix. And the idea of this is quite simple, that there would be a tracking country by country where each of the G8 members is in terms of fulfilling the pledges it's made to the poorer countries. There's a lot of kickback on that from the Italians and from the French in particular, and there is a real concern that that is going to be a casualty of Italy's objections, that it will fall out of the final summit communique, the statement that the leaders will put out next week. So that's certainly one thing we've been pushing hard for, because really without any basic accountability, it's very hard to actually really follow through on these pledges and have transparency about what has and has not been done.
You say that Africa is the real litmus test regarding aid. Why so?
Because it's the poorest region of the world. It's the region of the world where aid continues to play a very critical role in enabling people to meet their most basic needs. I mean, the fact is, even where you have African governments that are genuinely committed to improving the situation of their people, you know, look at countries like Ghana, like Tanzania, that have made genuine strides in areas like health and education. They've only been able to do that because they've been given critical support from donor countries like the United States, like the UK, like France and Germany. So while there are other poor countries around the world, obviously there are countries affected by conflict, places like Afghanistan, Pakistan, really Africa is the test bed. And it's the region where half of the aid increase that was committed in 2005 is supposed to be going.